We notice from passages studied last week that in your conversion, there must be your biological involvement, meaning biologically, we have to, our eyes, our ears, our intellect have to be involved. We see that last week, where the Bible specified that in your conversion and the conversion of every man and every woman, our eyes play a part. Our ears play a part. Our heart plays a part, and our intellect or our understanding plays a part. And there is no exception. Every man and every woman must go through that conversion process. Today we have the second lesson on the Holy Spirit. In fact, get this, based on Mark chapter 3, verse 28 through 30. Any scriptural lesson or any sincere study of the Holy Spirit should be of utmost importance to every man and every woman, based on the truth in Mark chapter 3, verse 28 to verse 30. That is, based on this passage, when any study is undertaken relating to the Holy Spirit, you, whoever you are, and especially the children of God, you should take key, utmost interest based on what this passage teaches. Let us hear the passage. It is Mark chapter 3, did I say 28 through 30? Let us hear that passage.
Verily I say unto you,
truly I say unto you,
all sins shall be forgiven.
Get this now. Now, this is relevant to every man and every woman here, every man, every woman in the world. Start again.
Verily I say unto you.
Truly, Christ is speaking. Truly I say unto you.
All sins shall be forgiven.
All sins. Is not wonderful that when we sin, whatever the sin is, if we meet Christ's condition, that is implied in all sin shall be forgiven, which means you have to meet Christ's condition. If we meet Christ's condition, our sins will be forgiven. But he's going to give an exception. All sins shall be forgiven.
Unto the sons of men.
Unto the sons of men.
And blasphemies wherewith.
And blasphemy wherewith.
Soever they shall blaspheme.
Whatsoever that sin of blasphemy. Blaspheme means to speak evil against. To speak bad against.
But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost.
Wait. What verse you read from again?
29.
Verse 29. But let me hear 28.
Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme.
Wait, there's a privilege. Where, if you blaspheme against the Father,
against the Holy Ghost,
that is there. The Father, the Son, it's
the Holy Ghost.
Yes, I know the Holy Ghost because that's what I want, but you find the same text in Matthew. But you're reading from Mark chapter 3.
28.
It's 12.
28.
Let me hear that.
Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost.
So, Luke 12:10. Yes, it's the same rendering, but Luke and Matthew are more expansive. Luke 12:10.
And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man.
Okay, whosoever shall speak a word against Jesus Christ, that's the Son of Man.
It shall be forgiven him.
It shall be forgiven him.
But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven.
You have it right. It's, I believe that was Luke. Can somebody find a rendering in Matthew? Matthew? 12:31. Read it for us, Chad.
Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him.
Remember, the Son of Man is Jesus Christ. Read on.
But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come.
Okay. I think there is a passage where the three persons in the Godhead are listed, the Father, the Son. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, that is, if you speak a word against the Father, it will be forgiven. If you speak against the Son, that is the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, it would be forgiven. But when men and women blaspheme or speak words against the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ said it will never be forgiven in this world or in this life or the one to come. Now, this is why I made the statement previously that any study, serious, sincere study of the Holy Spirit is always important to us. Because for some reason, when you and I blaspheme or speak against the Holy Spirit, Christ is implying here it matters not what we do, we will never be forgiven. Now, it's important to know the background from which Jesus' comment came. The Jews did not want to accept Jesus Christ. All the proof that Christ gave that he was the Messiah, the Son of God, they still were determined not to credit Jesus Christ with him having been the Son of God. It was from that background that Jesus Christ made three statements. One is that they accuse Christ of working by the power of Satan. And it was right then that Christ pointed out that a man cannot enter another man's house and destroy it unless he is the better of the man. And he gave another illustration, but this one about the unforgivable sin relating to the Holy Spirit is the third point that Christ made in explaining that there is no way he could be working under the power of Satan. That is, they were so bent in criticizing Jesus Christ that even when the truth stared them in the face, they didn't want to accept it. It is out of that background that what we have read, it is found in Matthew, it is found in Mark, it is found in Luke. What I just said is to remind us how important it is when we are dealing with the subject of the Holy Spirit. Wait. We must not be afraid. That's not the point. But we must make sure that as we go through life, we get all the knowledge and the information we can about the Holy Spirit. There's so much falsehood out there about the Holy Spirit. There are men and women who feel that the Holy Spirit causes men and women to act irrational, act like they are under the influence of alcoholic beverages, act like a screw is missing up their head. People will throw themselves on the floor and tell you that is the Holy Spirit doing it. And then people around believe that. The Holy Spirit makes no man or woman act disorderly. How do I know? One of the characteristics that you have the Holy Spirit working in you is that disposition of self-control. The Bible calls it temperance. When you are temperate, you are able to control yourself in a spiritual, godly way. It means the Holy Spirit is working on you. How then can men and women attribute irrationality, emotionalism, and all of that to the Holy Spirit? So we need to pay more attention to the Holy Spirit. You have the passage of Mark, the same chapter 3, verse 30. Let us hear verse 30. Chapter 3, verse 30.
Subset 17.
Mark chapter 3, verse 30. It does not verse 30.
Because they said.
That's the passage. Yeah.
Because they said, he hath an unclean spirit.
Okay. That statement shine light on the rest, the other two or three verses. Jesus Christ is saying, what I have just related to the unforgivable sin, the sin that cannot be forgiven, as it relates to one disposition towards the Holy Spirit, is coming out of what they say. Mark is giving an explanation here in verse 30. Because they say,
he hath an unclean spirit.
So what is the point? The Jews, in order not to believe in Christ, they were attributing the Holy Spirit work in Christ to Satan. You may say, well, Brother Mitchell, that's a simple point, because the Holy Spirit know that, and Christ know that he's not Satan. But Jesus Christ was saying, you have gone too far, because they say he hath an evil spirit. They were saying it's an evil spirit working in Christ. Simple that. The Holy Spirit is not an influence. I'm going to list about three or four things that the Holy Spirit is not. The Holy Spirit is not an influence. The Holy Spirit is not a force. The Holy Spirit is not our energy. The Holy Spirit is not simply a power. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. One of the three persons or personality in the Godhead. The Bible uses the word Godhead. In the same way we use the word neighborhood. When we speak of the neighborhood, it means all those who live within a particular geographical location. The neighborhood of Patrick Gardens. That word neighborhood means all the people who live in Patrick City. When we speak of the Godhead, it encompasses God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. But we are not saying that there are three gods. That's not what we are saying. You see, there is one God. One God that vested himself in three persons. And over the years, I've always used, I'm coming from the time when there was just one television outlet here, just one, JBC TV. But that one TV station usually reached the Jamaican population through channel 7, channel 11, channel 2. Well, I just mentioned three channels there. Were those three different stations? No, one. The one station was JBC TV. Well, same way is the word Godhead used. the word Godhead. Let us hear Acts of the Apostle, chapter 17, verse 29. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. And Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. Let us hear it.
For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone.
We ought not to think that the Godhead, that word encompasses or include the three persons that make up the Godhead. As I said, the way, same way we use neighborhood. Sometime I want to use the word manhood, womanhood, but I think the word neighborhood is better explain it. Let us skip Romans and let us hear Colossians chapter 2, verse 9.
For in him,
dwelleth
all the fullness.
Wait. In Jesus Christ dwelleth all the fullness
of the Godhead bodily.
That is all that composes the divine attribute. It is found in Jesus Christ. One God manifesting himself in three persons. While the word that is translated spirit, that is the Greek word for spirit, in Greek it is neuter gender. That is the way we refer to a thing and not a person. Because when it is a person, it's going to be either masculine or feminine gender. But in Greek, the word spirit is actually a neuter gender. But don't let that fool you. Jesus Christ, in speaking about the Holy Spirit, in the book of St. John, chapter 15, verse 26, St. John chapter 16, verse 7 and 8, and verse 13 and 14, Jesus Christ used the personal pronoun. That is, Christ used the word, the pronoun, to let us know that the Holy Spirit is a person, not a thing. Let us hear those passages, or one or two of them.
But when the Comforter is come,
when the Comforter is come,
whom I will send unto you,
whom I will send unto you,
from the Father, even the Spirit of truth. Which proceedeth from the Father. He shall testify of me.
He, not it. Now, while some translation will, in particular passage, speaking of the Holy Spirit, use the word it, that is misleading. The Holy Spirit is not a it. The Holy Spirit is a person. I dare not speaking to any of you or about you and refer to you as it. You know you wouldn't take kindly to that? No. Because you are a person. Read on, brother. That's verse 26.
26.
of John chapter 15. In fact, let us take to another passage in John chapter 16, verse 7 and 8.
Nevertheless, I tell you the truth.
I tell you the truth.
It is expedient for you that I go away.
It is a convenient or a wise thing that I leave you.
For that I go away. For if I go not away.
If I do not go away.
The Comforter will not come unto you.
The Comforter, that's the Holy Spirit. In other words, it's like both of us cannot be here in person or personally at the same time. Read on.
But if I depart.
If I depart.
I will send him unto you.
Notice, not I will send it, I will send him unto you. That's personal pronoun. Read on.
And when he is come.
Here again, when he, that is the Holy Spirit, is come.
He will reprove the world of sin.
He will reprove the world of sin.
And of righteousness.
And of righteousness.
And of judgment.
Wait. This passage came up last week, not in reference to the point we are now making, but in reference to the work of the Holy Spirit. He will reprove the world of sin.
And of righteousness.
And of righteousness and of judgment. What does it mean, these three things? We will look at this in another lesson. But we need to understand what that is talking about. Read on, brother.
Of sin. Because they believe not on me.
Because they believe not on me.
Of righteousness. Because I go to my Father.
Because I go to my Father.
And you see me no more.
And you see me no more.
Of judgment. Because the prince of this world is judged.
Because the devil is judged. And even that the devil is judged, which means Satan is already judged, found guilty, and sentenced. That's right. That's right. We have the idea. We have the feeling that Satan just have a free reign. No. Even now, he's under the control of Jesus Christ. But we'll go into that another time. Yes. Okay. That was verse 7 and 8.
7 to 11.
7 to 11. Step down to verse 13 and 14.
Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come.
Oh. Start again.
Howbeit.
Howbeit.
When he. The Spirit of truth.
The Spirit of truth. You notice that he's not speaking of a thing or a it here, of a force or an energy or a power. That would be it. He's speaking about a person. Albeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come,
he will guide you into all truth.
Into all truth.
For he shall not speak of himself.
For he shall not speak of himself.
But whatsoever he shall hear.
You notice in these two verses how many times the personal pronoun he, him, are used. The Holy Spirit is not a thing or an it. The Holy Spirit is a person. One of the persons in the Godhead. The use of the personal pronoun is emphasizing the personal nature of the Holy Spirit. Again, telling us that the Holy Spirit is not simply an energy or a force or a power. Yes, the Holy Spirit possesses power, but the Holy Spirit is more than simply power. The Holy Spirit is a person. Look here now, look here, look here, look here. One of the main functions of the Holy Spirit is that as a revelator, a revealer. Brother Mitchell, expand on that. May I just drop here by two? In the Godhead, each person play his active part in man's salvation. Watch here, watch here. The Holy Spirit didn't die for your sin or my sin. Jesus Christ died for our sin. And he is represented in the scripture as the Son of God. The Holy Spirit, the function of the Holy Spirit is that of revealing to man what God wants man to know. Very important. Let us look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 10 through verse 12.
But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit.
How does he reveal them unto us?
By his Spirit.
That's the Holy Spirit. Read on.
For the Spirit searcheth all things.
The Spirit searcheth all things.
The deep things of God.
The deep things of God.
For what a man knoweth the things
For
of a man.
For what man knoweth the things of?
A man.
Of man.
Save the spirit of man.
But the spirit of man.
Which is in him.
Which is in him.
Even so.
It is the same way.
The things of God.
The things of God.
Knoweth no man.
Knoweth no man.
But the spirit of God.
You get what that is saying? That in the same way, no one can know what is going on in us, but our inner spirit knows. The passage being read there by the brother from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is telling us that had it not been for the Holy Spirit, all the truth that you and I know about God would never be known. God used the Holy Spirit to reveal. Wait. The Bible is the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has as his function a revealer. God wants man to know him and to know his will. That is revealed in the scripture. Well, that is the work of the Holy Spirit. Read on, brother.
Now we have received not the spirit of the world.
We have received not the spirit of the world.
But the spirit which is of God.
But the spirit which is of God.
That we might know the things that are freely given to
wait,
us.
Wait, you get what we are having here? That the Holy Spirit that lives in Christians.
Did everybody hear that?
The passage, the part in the verse the brother is reading is here. The Almighty God is letting us know that it is the aid of the Holy Spirit that lives in God's people that is helping us to understand better the will of God. That's right. I mean now, today, the Holy Spirit works within us, opening our eyes to understand God's word better and to know what God's expectation of us is. Wait, that is not something you guess or imagine. It has to be revealed to us. What verse? You're still in what verse?
Verse 12.
Read verse 12 again, quick, brother.
Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God.
And that is referring to the Holy Spirit that is given to us when we become Christian. Read.
That we might know the things that are freely given to us
and
of God.
The giving of the Holy Spirit. Brother Michel, how do you know? The Bible told the people on the day of Pentecost, when the people, having heard a message from God's word, asked Peter and the rest of the apostles, what must we do about our sin? They were told to repent and get baptized for the removal of their sin. Watch here. And you will receive the Holy Ghost as a gift. That promise is to every prospective convert. Every man, every woman who is planning to become a Christian, the Holy Spirit is promised to you. You are glad about that? You are going to jump up and prance and walk on the bench and throw yourself in the ground? No, the Holy Spirit doesn't make anybody act like that. Never. And I don't care what church you go and give you the idea that the Holy Spirit makes you tremble and make you act like you are drinking rum. No, sir. Not God, Holy Spirit. Because I repeat, the Holy Spirit tells us that one of the qualities he gives to us is self-control. Temperance. What the Holy Spirit does, the Holy Spirit works with our intellect, our understanding, so that day by day you find that you're understanding God's word better because you studied. I needed to drop that. Because if your Bible grew dust, you'll never understand God's word. That's right. It's when the Almighty God sees your interest in spiritual things and you spend some time with God's word as often as possible. When God notices that interest, he works with you through the Holy Spirit to open your mind, your understanding, your intellect, so that day by day you grow to a better understanding of God's word. You are at verse 12, brother. Of the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2.
Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God.
What? Watch now. The objective, the goal, the aim that God had in mind when he gave his people the Holy Spirit.
That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God.
You hear? And watch here. Watch here. Things. Don't think of material things. That's not what it's talking about. Now, God gives that to us. He provides that to us. But right in the same context, we are informed that the things under consideration is the will of God that God wants us to know. May I? We were on the fact that we're still on the fact. In fact, I'm going to close on this point. That the Holy Spirit is not a thing. It's not simply a power or a force or an influence. The Holy Spirit is a person. And that's why you have words such as he, him, use. These are personal pronouns that use when we are talking about a person. When we are talking about a thing, will use it on him, not he, she, or whatever. We can best see the Holy Spirit as a person in the activities of the Holy Spirit. We are going to be making a few statements here and close on this point. That is, the work that the Holy Spirit does help us to understand better who the Holy Spirit is. And that the Holy Spirit is not a thing. The work the Holy Spirit does is demonstrated by certain words or certain words of action that the Holy Spirit uses. Notice, the Holy Spirit as God does, so does the Holy Spirit. That is, some of the same thing that the Bible tells us is done by the Almighty God, those same things are done by the Holy Spirit. Look at one such passage in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1.
Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times...
Who speak?
The Spirit.
I imagine all of us know that a thing cannot speak. That's right. That's a common knowledge, but I need to bring it to your attention that a thing does not speak. Read that again, brother.
Now the Spirit speaketh expressly.
Expressly means directly.
That in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith.
You see, Chad, I want only the first part. But because the rest of what in the verse has relevance to us today, the Spirit speaketh expressly on this wise. That is, the Holy Spirit speak directly on this subject. What subject?
That in the latter times.
That in the last time, we're living in the last time.
Some shall depart.
Men and women shall depart from
the faith.
The what?
The faith.
The faith. Ladies and gentlemen, that is not talking about what we call our subjective belief or faith. Wait. That is not talking about the belief you and I have in our head. The faith is referring to something that is outside of us. It's referring to the body of teaching given to the church by the Holy Spirit. Some shall depart
from the faith.
That is from the teachings of Jesus Christ. It's because men and women depart from the faith. While they are so wide, there are so many man-made churches today. Why there are so much false doctrine today. The Almighty God never made a rule that sprinkling is baptism. Never. God's baptism is an immersion, a burial in water. And you know what? The Almighty God in the book of Romans chapter 6, verse 3 through verse 5, makes that so very plain that you cannot miss it. Cannot miss it. That God's baptism is a burial. But what I want in the verse, the Spirit speaketh directly. And this subject, that in the latter time, that in the last days, men shall depart from the faith. Watch here now. Giving heed
to seducing spirits.
That is demonic, devilish influence that bring false religious teaching, men going to run to that rather than accept the truth. You know who teaches us that? The Holy Spirit. Give me another passage on the work of the Holy Spirit. Brother, that is in the book of John 15. The Holy Spirit bears witness and testifies. John chapter 15, verse 26 and 27. Quick. Time has gone.
But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me.
You see, the Holy Spirit also testify. That is, the Holy Spirit be a witness. That is not the work of a thing. It's the work of a person. Read a little more in that verse.
And ye shall also bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning.
He has been with me. Jesus Christ is saying, from the beginning, the Holy Spirit has been with me. That's a person. What I'm closing with here is the fact that don't think of the Holy Spirit as a thing. The Holy Spirit is a living person that works in God's people. Then and now. Let us hear probably the last passage, Acts 5:3. You can lie to the Holy Spirit. Let us hear it in the book of Acts chapter 5, verse 3.
But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost?
Why hath Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Watch here now. Read a little further.
And to keep but part of the price of the land. Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold.
Wait, take time with me, brother. I'm closing so I can take a few more seconds. To the Holy Ghost. Why have Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Pick up where you stopped there just now. Read on.
And to keep back part of the price of the land.
And to keep back a part of the land.
Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God.
Wait, brother, you see my point? Up here, he lied to the Holy Ghost. Down here, we are told he lied to God. That means when you lie to the Holy Ghost, you're lying to God, because the Holy Ghost is God. That's right. The Holy Ghost is one of the persons in the Godhead. The Holy Ghost is not a thing as a part of the Godhead. He is a person who speaks, who testifies, and to whom we can lie. In closing, whenever any study, any lesson, any discussion is taking place in sincerity and as it relates to the Holy Ghost, you need to be there, because the subject is such an important subject. Remember, we started where Jesus Christ outlined that the sin against the Father will be forgiven, the sin against the Son will be forgiven, but the sin against the Holy Ghost will never be forgiven. One of my concerns today, it was when Jesus' audience was attributing the work of the Holy Spirit to demonic spirit, that the teaching of blaspheming against the Holy Ghost came up. My concern today is when men and women attribute work of demonic spirit to the Holy Ghost. I have a fear there. That is, when men throw themselves in the dirt, walk on the bench, act irrational, act like they are intoxicated, and want to tell you and me that it is the Holy Ghost make them do that, I am afraid that that might be blaspheming. That is attributing to the Holy Spirit demonic behavior. We will look into that another time. But right now, you can obey the dictates of the Holy Spirit. When the Bible encourages us to come unto Jesus Christ, all ye that are heavy laden, when the Bible encourages men and women to repent and be baptized, that was brought to us by the Holy Ghost, given to the apostle, and the apostle to us. Why don't you obey that? You know what? Jesus Christ is right now ready to welcome you, and we are here to help you. You can become a simple New Testament Christian today. You can become a Christian now, the same way men and women became Christian in the time of the apostle. Come believing, come repenting, come confessing Christ's name, come submitting yourself to be baptized for the removal of your sin. We are here to help you, and Jesus Christ is ready to welcome you as we stand.